This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North, for the week of June the 28th, 2016, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like you to put your television on mute for episode 207 of TVA, the podcast. And Diane is wayward once again in the wind.
Yes. Yes, we will miss her. But she did offer, when we get to the beverage update, she does have a beverage update.
Which to me... admittedly, she didn't have to give us that beverage update, but to me, if you have the time to give us a beverage update,
you have the time to call in.
It seems to indicate that you're somewhere enjoying a beverage instead of doing the podcast, if you know what I'm saying. I think that was like a trick question you asked her, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I caught her out. She's on a patio somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Folks, we got a ton of stuff to talk to you about the calendar this week. Just a couple news items, but a whole bunch of stuff coming up over the next couple of weeks that, you should be watching for, because there's no such thing as the end of season anymore, I don't think, Greg.
No, that stopped a long time ago, back when Survivor was first broadcast, season one in the summer on CBS, and that pretty much told all the networks, hey, people are at home during the summer and willing to watch TV. So there's no such thing as a slow summer season anymore.
It's the staycation season.
Yeah, and with the heat that we've had over the last few days here, I'm happy to just put on the air conditioning and sit in my basement and just watch TV and drink.
Yeah, okay, in that order, I'm guessing?
Yes,
not
mostly.
Not necessarily in that order.
Not necessarily.
Exactly. So now, it's probably worth mentioning that I think what generally happens for the summer is, if we feel that there's, like, you may find that there's a couple weeks where we have no episode, and sometimes what basically happens is if we look at the docket for the week and there's nothing,
yeah,
you may hear us not doing an episode. So keep your eyes on the calendar and the TVA website. If you go to, what is it, TVA-EH.com/calendar or something like that?
Yes, I believe that is it. But hey, just go to the website anyway to check it out on a daily basis. But there's also a handy calendars tab that you can click on that'll update you on everything. And I keep it up to date all the time. I'm constantly making changes as I get information from the networks.
Right. So there you go. So check it out. And like I say, if we find something, if we find, you know, two or three things, we've definitely proven that that if we need to, we can talk with almost nothing to say.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. None of us have a problem with we've all been given the gift of gab.
Yes, indeed. I believe that takes us to the beverage update. And I don't know if Diane can win not being here. Normally she's at least got 6 or 7 drinks on the go, isn't it? Or 10 or 12 or something like that.
Yeah, at least 3 or 4. No, she definitely can't win in absentia. We're only going to just do her the, I think we're being polite by listing off the things that she would have had to drink were she here, but she definitely can't win this week.
So, is it just a single drink or is it a combination that she,
she said that she,
is there a rooibos involved?
No, there's no rooibos because she said it's currently too hot for a hot beverage.
Okay.
So she's going with, she bought,
is there
more,
a sparkling water with pineapple involved?
It's a sparkling club soda with cranberry in it. So a cranberry club soda.
Okay.
So that would be the crisp and light. And then she's gone a little on the heavy with a caramel vodka. I don't know whether I'd be drinking that on a hot day, but okay.
Yeah. I don't know. That's kind of
like the cream liqueurs on a summer day. That always reminds me of that Will Ferrell movie, Anchorman, where he drinks the milk on a really hot day.
Yeah, but it's not even liqueurs, right? Like, because it's cream, it's caramel vodka, so it's like infused.
Oh, right. It's not going to be like a Bailey's, is
no,
it?
No. It's going to be like, oh, an infused vodka kind of thing, yeah.
Okay.
Which still is weird to me. Like, I mean, I'm not the biggest vodka drinker, so I mean, I'm just kind of... Anyway, there you go. What are you drinking, Greg?
Speaking of vodka, uh-oh. I drink vodka when it's hidden in something. I found this lovely new beverage, Anthony, by this company named Crazy Uncle. And I was drinking a beverage of theirs late last year because they did a Caesar mix. Uh-huh. And it was already mixed in and the Clamato and all that and the spices. But now they're out this summer with Crazy Uncle Hard Root Beer Craft Soda for Grown-Ups. And it's 5%. And let me read, smooth and rich natural flavors of sarsaparilla, wintergreen, and licorice root with a creamy vanilla finish. So yeah, you can't taste the vodka in it, but you know that there's a little something in there because you have a little bit of a buzz by the time you've had three or four or five or six. I have not had it with a scoop of vanilla ice cream in it, but that'll be what I have at some point. Right now, I'm just drinking it cold in a glass. And that's my drink.
I've had a couple hard root beers before, and they can be okay.
Yeah, I've never had them before. I didn't realize that these guys make them, and then Mill Street also makes one because a friend of mine let me know that they're out there. So I seem to be kind of flipping back and forth between this, the apple ciders, and kind of a light beer. Mill Street makes a really nice organic lager that I drink. So it right. seems to be those three that I'm jumping around back and forth with. But tonight it's the hard root beer.
So are they a Canadian company?
Yeah, I think they are, as a matter of fact.
So what you're saying is, if they would like to send you some samples so that you could further maybe discuss them on the podcast.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yes. They are based out of Toronto, and I am also based out of Toronto.
Because I don't believe that you've completely covered the taste palette.
I have not. I have not. Okay. So yes, Crazy Uncle, if you'd like to help sponsor this part of the podcast, that would be fantastic.
And by sponsor, we mean give us drinks.
That's what I mean.
Yes. So my bourbon pick this week.
Yes.
Is something that I just recently got at the LCBO. It's one of those things that comes in like once every year or two. And it's called Corner Creek Reserve Bourbon Whiskey. And the interesting thing about it is that even though it's a bourbon, it's in a wine bottle. So, and that's not for any purpose other than probably the fact that they just found a bunch of cheap wine bottles.
Right.
But I mean, so it looks odd because if you look at it, it looks like a bottle of wine. Okay. But it's actually bourbon. And I do have the description right from the website, so I'm going to cue my Sam Elliott voice here.
Go ahead.
Yes. In the tradition of the great wine importers, we at Corner Creek search for the elusive few great barrels of prime-aged American whiskey and offer it to you in this limited bottling. An exceptional marriage of the finest quality grains, aged in American oak and smoothed to perfection with Kentucky limestone water. Corner Creek is only lightly filtered so that it retains all its complex flavor and is bottled in as natural and pure a state as possible. Few other whiskeys can claim this. This 88-proof whiskey was produced under the strict supervision of our master distiller at Corner Creek, Bardstown, Kentucky.
Lightly filters. Does that mean it's a little cloudy?
I don't know. It's. I think the idea is. Well, I mean, I don't. When they say filtered, I'm guessing they mean that they mean watered. The amount that they water it down.
Okay.
Right, because the way that you get a consistent proof, in your whiskey. Is you add water basically. So if it comes out, if it comes out of the barrel at 120 proof,
yeah,
and you're selling, you want your consistent proof to be 40%. You got to water that thing down, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what they're talking about. So my guess is that they found a bunch of barrels that weren't that much higher than 88 proof, and so they don't have to water it down too much in order to achieve that consistent 88 proof.
It just fascinates me with you reading these out every time we get together because I don't know of any other alcoholic beverage that has, you know, like a paragraph description.
Well, it's definitely like bourbon has become very kind of hipster and hip at the same time over the past 5 years or so.
Okay.
And part of it is also because like this even though they talk about coming out of Kentucky. This is probably a company that has its head office in Kentucky in terms of a mailbox.
Yeah.
But it's probably just like a conglomerate which goes to a warehouse which bottles and says, "We want to buy these barrels off you." And they go, "Okay."
Yeah.
And they bottle it. And so
right.
So there you go. But yeah, if you go onto the cornercreekbourbon.com website, you'll find everything you need to know.
All right. Sounds good.
Yes. They even listen to this. The description of the bottle. Listen to this. slope-shouldered punt bottle with the art dominating the front label with red and smoky blue borders. Neck wrap is smoky blue with the Corner Creek text in off-red, picking up the borders of the label.
That sounds like me in the winter, slope-shouldered and neck-wrapped.
And then beyond that, and here, so we've gone from the this is turning into the bourbon cast, but don't worry about it. On the back label, that was what I read off the top. Then I just read you the package information. Now here's the nose information. You know, so here you go, because they've pasted in a JPEG from when it got points at a competition somewhere. And so listen to this. Bright light amber color, sweet roasted corn, clay, and buttery pistachio praline. Aromas follow through on a round, supple entry to a dry yet fruity medium to full body with dried fruits, toffee, dusty grain, and oak spice notes. Finishes with a nice lingering resident earthy spicy fade. Very solid and old school bourbon.
Supple entry, goodness me.
I know. It's a dry yet fruity medium to full body. Wow.
Oh.
You know, I'm always a fan of the supple entry, to be honest with you.
We're going to get that explicit thing, label.
Used to have a band back in college called the Supple Entries. Anyway, it's time to kick things off and move over to the calendar.
All right, let's see if this works. Did it work?
Yes, you have my approval.
Okay, good.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Not quite as entertaining as Diane trying to remember what the sound was a few weeks
ago. Oh, I know. That was fantastic.
So tonight as we record, actually not tonight because we're used to recording on Monday. We're actually recording on a Tuesday. Last night was the season finale of Wynonna Earp.
Yes, it was. And it was a bit of a cliffhanger. So it looked as though things had worked out and the bad guys had been gotten rid of in purgatory. And then there was a twist at the end. And I won't spoil it for anybody.
And by the way, great interview with Kate Drummond last week.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It was great to sit down and talk to her. And I'm going to try and do more of those. But I'm going to do them in person with them so that I get a little bit better sound. But yeah, her character definitely lived. So if the show is renewed for a second
season. Spoilers!
Well, that's all right. That's all right. I won't ruin the rest of it. But yeah, waiting to hear if there's going to be a second season. And if there is, I'm assuming that Kate Drummond will be invited back because she plays a pretty important character.
Now, while we're talking about this, I'm curious to know, because remember back before the season started, we had concerns about the Canadian outlet for Wynonna Earp being CHCH.
Yes.
Any reflections back over the season on whether that has hurt it at all?
I don't think so. I don't think it has hurt it. And actually, I spoke to Emily Andrus, who's the creator of Wynonna Earp, and we both kind of agreed that CHCH was pretty smart when it came to what they did with the show, because down in the U.S., Wynonna Earp aired on Sci-Fi on Friday nights, and then that same episode would air here in Canada on the Monday night, so, you know, several days later. But what CHCH did was, when it was being broadcast on Sci-Fi in the U.S., you could go to CHCH's website and stream it there on Friday night. So if you were a diehard fan and didn't want to wait, you could stream it there, which I think is pretty brilliant that they were doing that. They were also broadcasting the previous week's episode on the Friday night as a repeat episode on TV. So I think they were really smart. When it came to ratings, I don't know what the numbers were. I was just told that they were very good on CHCH.
Well, and you know what? The gold standard for ratings on CHCH probably is achievable.
Let's just put it that way. Yeah, I don't think you have to aim too hard. You know, you just need to broadcast something new, and you probably are getting those numbers.
Not since Frightenstein and Maple Leaf Wrestling, my friend.
Man, when you went off on your rant about CHCH and those movies that they air, those black and white movies that nobody's ever heard of, man, were you ever right? I tune in the middle of the night, and I don't know what they're broadcasting on there. I have no clue what any of those movies are.
If you've ever been a fan of the actor Richard Donat...
Yes, exactly.
You can pretty much get his entire output from his entire career on CHCH. The lesser known Richard Donat collection.
I think he was on X-Files, wasn't he?
Basically, so here's the way it works.
Sure.
If you were to go to Amazon right now and you search for a box set of like 100 or 200 public domain movies, like that they're all from before 1950. That's what you watch on CHTV.
Maybe they've renamed it. Have they renamed it on Amazon, the CHCH collection?
They should. They definitely should. Tonight, as we're recording, or just about an hour ago, the return of The Amazing Race Canada.
Yes, I watched the episode because I'm doing weekly reviews for the website. And I have to say, you know, I know there are a lot of people that decry reality TV and specifically...
No, say it's not so.
And I know. And specifically Canadian networks that take the American idea and make a Canadian version of it. But I do have to say that Amazing Race Canada is one of those rare shows where they actually have made a product that's better than the U.S. Every season they continue to impress me with the challenges that they do. And also with the some of the casting. There's a Miss Universe, a First Nations competitor and her father that are taking part in the race. And there's a guy and his wife, and he's almost blind. He can only see through a pinprick of vision. And he and his wife are going across the country and around the world because he wants to get a look at everything literally before he loses his sight. So, I mean, how can you not cheer for a team like that? You have no soul if you don't cheer for them.
Well, do any of us really, Greg? I mean, this is, we're turning into a bit of a metaphysical podcast here, right?
All right.
So, I mean, you can't argue with the ratings, can you?
No, you can't. I mean, again, you know, it's a Canadian spinoff of a franchise that comes from the U.S. But yeah, you can't argue with 2.4 million viewers a week.
Exactly. And was it? I don't know if it was last year. Was it ever not simulcast, but was it ever shown in the U.S.?
I don't believe so. Not like that I know of.
If it was, it would have probably been on some game show cable network or something.
Yeah, exactly. They would never broadcast it on a major network. It would be one of those cable offerings.
Right, okay. Coming up this Thursday, the return of Between on City.
Yeah, this is kind of a it's a dystopian, futuristic show where anybody under the age of 21 lives. Anybody over that age dies of a mysterious plague. Netflix, it's a City TV show, and yeah. Netflix has jumped on board to help out with the money and to broadcast it around the world. I've seen the first episode, and really the characters haven't expanded any further out of the town than they were trying to get in the first season. They're still trying to escape. Kind of reminds me a lot of a little show that we made fun of.
Called I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah, it's like Under the Dome. A lot like Under the Dome.
I have to guess this is an intentional play on words in the title. Between?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
This is a show that should be on the CW, I believe.
It would fit nicely on the CW. Yes. Yeah, sandwiched between a couple of those superhero shows. Absolutely.
Exactly. Coming up this Friday on Canada Day. Happy Canada Day to everybody. You get the Ottawa long weekend, which is nice. You know, sometimes when you get that Canada Day on a Wednesday, it can kind of throw things off.
Yeah, I like it when it's on a Friday.
So a big thing this Friday, we've got Space has the double shot, the return of Killjoys and Dark Matter all on the same night.
Yes, absolutely. In the cases of both shows, they are both expanding their universe, literally, in season two. More worlds, more characters, more drama. I've seen the first episodes of both. They were both enjoyable. What I like about Killjoys this season is that the dialogue is a lot snappier, a lot funnier, and a little more tongue-in-cheek than it was last season. They're not taking themselves quite as seriously. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Dark Matter, the crew of the Raza, which is the spaceship they were traveling around in last season, the crew has all been imprisoned. So now they swapped out a spaceship for a space prison. And so they're interacting with a lot of different characters. I really like both of these shows. And obviously the viewers did as well in sci-fi and space because they've been renewed. So good stuff.
I still haven't watched the Killjoys yet. Now, I watched the first four or five episodes of Dark Matter. And then I kind of fell into like this gap where I didn't watch like episode six for a while. And then I never kind of went back to it. And so I don't know. It's either going to be one of these accidental things that gets me back to it because I enjoyed it well enough.
Yeah. The other thing you can do is you could also get the 30-month free trial of Crave TV and catch up on both of those.
Yes.
Well, and I watch Letterkenny too.
I will be doing that because I'm going to be moving, mm-hmm. and my epically large cable package. Yes, I said epically large package. Mm-hmm. Uh huh. I'm going to be losing a lot of my my channel options, probably going for a skinny basic package and going for unlimited internet.
Yep, that's exactly what I did. I think you're going to be happy with that, because then you can get your Netflix and your Crave and your Show Me or whatever. And yeah, that's the way to go.
That's what I'm doing. And also on Friday night, the debut of We Are Savvy on the Family Channel.
Yeah, and I mean, this is interesting. I just got the press release for this a few days ago. It's Family Channel. It's from the same guys the name of the company is Banger Films, Sam Dunn and Scott McFadden. And they're the guys that have done a bunch of documentaries, rock documentaries.
Yes.
They did one on Rush. They've done one on Iron Maiden. They've done one on metal.
They did the history of heavy metal or something like that.
Yeah. They've done a whole series on metal. So this is they've got their own kids division that's called B Miners. Get it?
Uh-huh.
B Miners.
Uh-huh.
They do another show called Gaming Show in My Parents' Garage. So yes, like you said, We Are Savvy debuts on July the 1st. And it's three girls setting out to empower their generation. It's a magazine-style show that features a variety of segments, including inspiring peer profiles, crafty DIYs, and interviews with pop culture leaders from the world of music, technology, sports, and fashion. So this is going to be this was originally a YouTube series, and so now it's being expanded into a TV series.
Of course, why not?
As you do,
as one does.
You get that built-in audience on YouTube, and then you turn it into a TV show.
Yeah, you get that built-in audience on YouTube, and then take it to a medium that they don't watch.
Yeah, there you go.
Next Monday on July the 4th, and a happy July the 4th to all of our American listeners.
Yes.
I'm just going to start running into these. Oh, it's our Independence Day.
Yeah, exactly.
The season finale of Houdini and Doyle on Global. Now, we haven't talked about this show for probably the past few weeks. How have the numbers been keeping up on this one?
You know what? I have no idea. But the fact that Global didn't send out any press releases with regard to ratings, whereas they fell all over themselves sending out one for Private Eyes. Yeah. Would indicate to me that the ratings aren't that good for Houdini and Doyle. I'm actually not seeing a lot of people covering it. I was really excited about the show and before it started, and then I watched a few episodes of it, and I actually I wasn't interested in it anymore. It seemed like a weaker take of Murdoch Mysteries, and that kind of turned me off.
It almost seems like it seems just a bit too contrived.
Yes, a little too much. Everybody was trying a little too hard.
Like, it's almost like you expected the theme song to be, he's Houdini, he's Doyle.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. Absolutely.
Like
which is too bad, because, great showrunners, and so I just expect a lot more out of it.
Yeah. It's where you think you've got that home run with the concept,
mm-hmm.
and then I think you tie yourself down a bit too much.
Yep. No, I totally agree.
Other than that, next week we got a bunch of debuts.
Yes.
Debuts, or debuts, as we might call them.
As my dad would say.
Debuts.
Yeah.
You got to check out the butts. That's what I'm saying, son. Check out the butts. Made by Destruction on the Discovery Channel. Well, of course, if it's not on Discovery, it'll probably be on History.
Yeah, one of those two, right?
Yes.
That's the way it works. So as the saying goes, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Mm-hmm.
So Made by Destruction reveals the step-by-step process of how commonplace and often dismissed objects are used to create new usable products in factories all around the world by using innovative technology and inventive design. So you want an example? The first episode, discarded photocopiers are shredded. They're copper combined with a dash of zinc before they're sent to a nearby foundry to be melted into brass. The brass is then heated, melted, and shaped into one of the most iconic musical instruments in the world, the trumpet.
Wow. Wow.
It sounds like I was talking about a new bourbon, because it's copper combined with a dash of zinc.
Oh, well, let's hope there's not a lot of zinc in my bourbon. The authentic taste of zinc.
There you go. So that's, there you go. That's people that watch How It's Made. That's a lot. That's basically what this show is like.
For sure. On Wednesday the 6th, the return of Hope for Wildlife on the Cottage Life Network.
You know, this is when I was paying for Cottage Life, this was a show that would be on at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in repeats, and I would end up watching it. It's going into season 7 on Cottage Life.
And do they just pick a new animal every week or something? Is that the way it works?
You know what it is? It's actually an animal sanctuary out in, I think it's just outside of Halifax.
Okay.
And they just go out and with people, you know, will bring in animals that they found, like wild animals that they found or injured or need to be rescued. And they take care of them and they rehab them and then they let them go back out into the wild. So that's the show. And, you know, there's not a lot to it, but I like watching that stuff, especially when it's a happy, when the animals get well and then they fly away and say thank you as they fly away.
Also next,
you're not interested in that, are you?
You know what? I can't imagine watching it for too long.
Okay. Keep going.
If my legs were broken and I couldn't change the channel, maybe, or if my arms were broken and I couldn't change the channel, just saying.
Don't hold back, Anthony.
If I had a helper dog and they could change the channel, they could actually be the subject of the show, I think. Cheer Squad debuts on ABC Spark. Not ABC, yeah. Folks. ABC Spark.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And this is a reality show. It was originally ordered as a show called Cheer Stars, but now they've changed it into just Cheer Squad.
Oh, they ain't stars yet.
No, they're not.
You know why? Because there's going to be a spin-off show called Cheer Stars.
I want it to be Cheers. Cheers Stars.
Cheers.
The Stars of Cheers.
Cheers Squad. It's going to be the actors and actresses from Cheers join the army.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So this is a reality show from the same people that do The Bachelorette Canada and The Bachelor Canada. It follows the members of a competitive cheerleading team, the Great White Sharks, as they go through a season and strive to defend their world championship title.
Okay.
There you go. Hey, ABC Spark, we're not that audience.
Right. On Thursday, July the 7th, Dead Set on Life debuts from Viceland with a generous heaping helping bunch of funding from Rogers.
Yes, exactly. Documentary series, celebrity chef Matty Matheson. He's a Canadian, and he goes around the world eating different types of food. From $6 subs at gas stations to the most sought-after ingredients on the planet, he eats it all and meets amazing people along the way. This is one of two shows, Canadian originals, that are being done by Vice here in this country. The other one is Cyber War.
Why do I get the feeling that it's like... We're just, you know what, like this is the opposite of Houdini and Doyle, where you don't put any parameters on it whatsoever. He eats stuff.
Yeah, he eats stuff. This is like Anthony Bourdain on a budget.
Exactly. He eats stuff. It's like, we're driving through this. Because you know what? The original concept was probably, yeah, it's going to be a bit more high end. And then as they were on the road, they stopped at like some restaurant. And it's like, hey, why don't we film us eating this sub? And then someone went, oh my God, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone said, print it.
Bring a camera along. Let's get that. Let's pull pull the saran wrap off that piece of pie. Eat it, Maddie. Yeah, eat it.
Exactly. And our last announcement on the calendar, the Food Network is debuting. Oh, have we run out of titles? Food's Greatest Hits.
Yeah, this is from Tricon Films and Television. They did a few shows years and years ago. They did a barbecue show with Rob Rainford. But anyway, they're back with this show, Food's Greatest Hits, and it's a 14-part series that will explore the history and facts behind some of the world's most iconic foods, from pancakes and hamburgers to corn dogs and ice cream. And they're going to have Food Network stars talking about these foods.
So remember the series that they used to put on VH1, the Behind the Music series, mm-hmm. where they used to have all these, they used to bring in all these faux experts to just read like random quotes about stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, he never really wanted to do that. Like they had no relationship with the person they were talking about at all. That's what I get the feeling this is going to be about. You're going to basically bring in people who are like, you know, these pseudo B-level celebrity cooks and chefs, and you're going to put a script in front of them saying, you know what? I never thought they could do that with coconuts.
Well, that, you know what, you bring up a really good, you know, I know you're kind of joking, but I think that that's absolutely true, because they already have these established stars on the Food Network. So why not just use them as talking heads, right?
Exactly.
Well, they're experts.
Yeah. They become the experts. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. Food's Greatest Hits. Maybe there is hope for wildlife after all. I don't know. Anyway, that closes up the calendar for this episode.
Oh, shoot. Hold on. Geez,
you got to be on the ball. I even said it was our last one.
Now I can't get it to stop.
It was almost perfect, Greg. It was almost perfect. But
so sorry. I know. The team.
We do have a couple links that aren't calendar related this week. The first one was the announcement this morning that morning personality Liza Frommer did not have her contact renewed at Global News. And Global News, but it was also kind of like the magazine program as well.
Yeah, she's a co-host. She was there when Global went and did their own morning show called The Morning Show. And right. She helped launch that back in, I think it was 2011. But there have been so many casting changes on that show. Within the first year, they had let a couple of people go and brought in more people. And up until this point, it's been just kind of a bloated cast on that show. And to be honest with you, she'd been kind of relegated to just speaking to the odd celebrity when they came in. They've just put so much news into that program now, there really isn't much time to do anything else. Unfortunate, though, because I know, like I said, they had brought her in to start that show, the morning show, from the very beginning.
Right.
So they've not, she'll probably take the summer off, like a lot of these people that are being let go in journalism right now and in television news. But she'll be back. She'll be back with something, maybe a lifestyle show or something.
Where's the new Brian Lanahan? That's what I want to know.
Would it be Stephen Sabatos, maybe, from Stephen and Chris? He's going to be coming up with he's going to have a new CBC show that's coming up in the fall.
Like there
he'll be the next one. Yeah, there isn't anybody that sits down and talks to celebrities and asks them, difficult questions.
There are cable shows in the States that have done that in the past. Like, who was it? Henry Rollins had a show for a while where he would, he'd have a little bit of a thing off the top, but then he'd talk with someone for 15 or 20 minutes.
Yep, that's right.
And it was pretty, like, even celebrities, politics, whoever it was, and it was pretty hardcore stuff. Like, I mean, he didn't hide from anything anyway, so.
No, and now it's all about the soundbite, right? Like, they're not sitting down. You're not getting these long-form interviews anymore.
Yeah. Also, they canceled 16 by 9, which is a shame. 16 by 9 was Global's documentary series.
Yeah, kind of like their version of W5. Yeah. If you're watching W5 on CTV. So, and somebody tweeted about that and said there's no, other than W5, I don't know whether there's any other investigative reporting being done in this country anymore on television. I can't think of anything.
To be honest with you, that it is not a cheap format to do. Especially when you don't know. I mean, you could end up trying to put together a half hour, hour long show and find out that, the story just doesn't quite come together the way that you hoped it was going to come together. And let's hope for an editor who can manage to make something out of it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Because you never know how the story is going to turn out. And also kind of an extra kick in the pants is that it won Canadian Screen Award this past spring. So
right.
Unfortunate timing.
I know that here's the thing with me. I mean, I watched a couple episodes. I really enjoyed them.
Yep.
But it was inconsistent for me.
It was inconsistent, and I'm in this business to write about TV, and I could never remember when it was on.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a problem.
Yeah, exactly. And the last link we have to talk about this week, not very much a surprise, but a little piece of news that back in Halifax, they just started rolling cameras on season 6 of Mr. D.
Yeah, and kind of on the heels of that, there was a story that was that I posted last week that was about, or maybe it was the week before, about, I think we talked about Nova Scotia and how they had lost their film and television budget. Well, now, in the last several weeks, the government has actually put a bunch more money into television and film for the rest of this year because of shows like this. Yes, Mr. D, season 6, 10 episodes. They're back in production. And the cast, everyone is coming back. We also know that Mr. D is going to be teaching. Can you tell that I'm scanning over the story?
Yes.
Jerry's going to be teaching in a prison to earn extra cash. Robert is going to fulfill a few of his lifelong dreams. And Simon and Nisha are going to explore their complicated relationship.
All I know is, as a teacher, I can't watch this show.
Why is that?
because it is not at all what teaching is like. And I'm not expecting that it should be, but the stereotypes to humor jumps just aren't on, they aren't quite on point for me. Like, and I'm not saying that I could find a way to pinpoint humor better, but it's enough to say that when I see it being off that much and then they're trying to be funny with it, it's just like, oh, okay. Like, the part that makes it funny is the part that's unrealistic. It's one thing. It's one thing if the part that made it funny was that it was just, okay, it's the character driven funny kind of thing. But like, the premise of it just oftentimes seems so ridiculous to me in parts of the humor that I just can't quite get through it.
Yeah, my dad was a high school French teacher, and I don't ever remember him coming home and kind of yucking it up. He just wanted to drink his stubby of beer and drink the pain away.
And watch as many debuts on possible.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Exactly. But I mean, season six, it's doing what it's doing.
It's doing what it's doing. And actually, I don't, when CBC made their upfront announcement, I don't think, or when Rogers did their upfront announcement, they didn't mention anything about a second window on City TV for Mr. D. So it looks as though maybe that deal that they had last year is done and they're not doing that anymore.
I mean, it's not a place for us all, Greg?
I guess not.
Wow.
Certainly not over on City. They got their own thing to deal with.
Wow. Okay. And notice how we're not talking about the speculated rumors around George Snuffleupagus and Ron McClain.
Well, that's been confirmed now, right? Yes. City made the announcement. I think that it was an expensive blunder by Rogers. I think that the way that TV viewership has changed, that young audience that they were hoping to get was never going to be there in the first place for them. I feel badly for everybody involved. You know, George is going to find something.
Because he's that guy.
Because he's that guy.
Because he's got the Ben Mergie factor.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was, like I said, it was an expensive blunder and Rogers is paying the price literally for that mistake.
It's, I don't know what it was, because it's not like the way they've showed the games has changed that much. There might be an intangible that I'm missing, but it's just, I couldn't pinpoint something that says that it looks too polished or too this or too that. But something is the tone or the vibe or the feeling of the broadcasts on Rogers have definitely changed for me.
There are too many people, and to me, they let PJ Stock go and somebody else. It just seemed as though the stage was always cluttered with these experts. There was so much going on.
They were trying to NFL it, basically.
They were. That is a perfect description. They were trying to NFL it, and that isn't what people want. And so they're kind of going back to the drawing board, because they know that if they bring back Ron McClain and they have him with Don Cherry, which they did anyway, but if they have Ron back on a more regular basis, that's kind of what people were wanting. I think it's, you know, too bad that they gambled the way that they did and spent all that money. But also, I think it's unfair that they blamed the way that the Canadian teams did, and the fact that they didn't get the ratings on George Strombolopoulos, because he certainly didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, well, it didn't make a difference for the 20 years beforehand. So.
No, exactly. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
There you go. That's all of our news for this week, folks. Like we say, on a week-by-week basis, I think it's going to be tougher. Now, you can tell me otherwise, but I think it's going to be tougher over the next maybe month or so to probably line up some of the longer form interviews for the ABC's podcast, because they tend to roll those out when shows are about to come on.
Yeah. I'm supposed to go to the set of Saving Hope. And so if I go and talk to anybody on the set of Saving Hope, they're going to want me to hold on to it until the season comes. I'm going to try my best. And when I'm able to get someone to sit down and talk to us, then we'll certainly post it. I'm trying to get John Montgomery, actually, the host of The Amazing Race Canada, just because he has such a great life story, not only with the Olympics, but also he's got his own beer, which I think would be interesting to talk about.
See, I still need to get in touch with Being Frank. That's what I need to get in touch with.
There you go.
I need to do that.
He's probably on his summer vacation now. He's probably at the cottage or something.
He's probably on his summer vacation down the street from me. I don't know. Greg, why don't you tell people where they can find you and what you're doing when you're not here podcasting once every couple of weeks?
Yeah, when I'm not podcasting and talking to you and talking about TV, I'm manning the TVA website with Diane. That's tv-eh.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @TV_EH. I've also got my own Twitter account, which is at Greg_David. And we're also on Instagram now, but I can't remember what our... Look for TV on Instagram. There's a bunch of numbers at the end of it, but we're on Instagram. We just started up the last couple of weeks. No, I just realized I should probably check that out. I totally forgot that we're on Instagram. So I will...
When are you getting the Snapchat going there, Greg?
You can find us on Instagram, tveh.com1486, because that's what they suggested, and I took it. No, we're not on Snapchat. Come on. We're not on Vine.
What about
either.
Plurk?
No, we're not on Plurk. We're not on Clurk. We're not on Vine. We're not on Periscope.
Pounce?
What is that? What's Pounce? Is that something new? You're just making stuff up now.
It's brand new. You should check it out.
Oh, come on.
It's so awesome. It's almost as good as FriendFeed.
What about you, Anthony? Where can we find you?
You can find all of my other podcasts at anthonymarco.com. Find me on Twitter at anthonymarco. And like Greg said, at TV_EH, TV-EH.com. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TV_EH. If you like to support this podcast, you enjoy the episodes that we put out, even though we slow down in the summer. We slow down because the air conditioning doesn't work and when we're sweltering, and we need all the help we can get on our Patreon. Does that sound sad enough?
Yes, we need to pay the bills for the air conditioning.
Exactly. So if you'd like to contribute... $1 an episode, $1 a month, whatever you want to contribute, feel free to go to patreon.com and help us out that way. I think that's it, Greg. I think we've pretty much done it all. I think Diane is probably off on a patio drinking somewhere in the burbs of Vancouver.
Yes, she probably is. I should go out and find my cat. He went wandering tonight, so I'm going to go and find him. Maybe I'll wander down the street with my hard root beer and yell at some kids.
Yes, well, hopefully your cat hasn't made a supple entry. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
dear. And that wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.